Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're live in the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios on a bench. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices. Every day, 55-212-4227 is the number to get on the bench. Bob Nightingale is my guy at USA Today. Bob, how's it going, buddy?
Yeah, doing great, Scott. How you doing, buddy?
What game are you at tonight?
Cubs and Giants.
Oh, sweet. I'm watching that game. Giants up 3-0. Do you like Bumgarner tomorrow against that Cubs team?
Yeah, like I always like Bumgarner just about anybody. And yeah, he's going against Hendricks, who's kind of scuffling a little bit since coming off the deal. So, yeah, I do like Bumgarner.
Do you think, Bob, that the Cubs, because, you know, when they took first place, I think a lot of people thought that that was it. They were on their way, but it really hasn't been the case. They got first place, and then they actually kind of have wavered. Do you believe that there's a chance, because I do, that they're not going to be able to get the job done in that division even? Because, I mean, everybody keeps talking about how great they are, and it's just not the case.
Well, I still think they'll get the job done, but, you know, here comes St. Louis, just off of an explosion the last few days. Everybody's kept waiting for these guys to take off, and maybe they are. And this will be the first time over 500 in about 2.5 months that they're holding that lead tonight. Brewers are hanging around. And then Quintana, I mean, they'll give up a 3-spot right away with the home run to Posey. But they didn't hit the pitch well if they want to win this division.
How did St. Louis turn things around and get into the thick of the race? Because all of a sudden, it's like you said, here they are. They're at 500 tonight, and they're going to win that game and go over 500.
Yeah, it's just, you know, the pieces have been there, but just something missing. You know, now they put in Jose Martinez in the same spot. He's been helping. They missed that big bumper. They kind of missed confidence. It's almost like a team with no direction. You know, all of a sudden they're finding it. They've always had the good pitching. So they've underachieved, and now they're finally starting to play their level. I would say they're going to score 10 runs every night, but at least now they have the confidence they can, you know, put some big numbers up.
Have you ever seen, I mean, can you think of anything like this tear the Dodgers have been on in there? They're up 2-0. I'm watching that game tonight in Arizona. But tomorrow night, I think it's Wood against Greinke. That should be a really good matchup.
Yeah, it should be. You know, Greinke's pitched lights out all year, particularly that ballpark. But no, I have not. I mean, it's a, you know, we all talk about the Tigers' 35-5 start. The Mariners, of course, won 16 wins. I think they'll break the record because they got off to a slow start, too. I think they won, only won 9 in the first 20 games. So, they're, you know, you throw away the beginning of the season, they're actually doing better than a 115-game pace.
So, do you think that, like, there's any stopping them? Like, I know people have talked about, you know, these other teams, the Nationals, I think, you know, Nationals, the Cubs, et cetera. But, I mean, this looks like a team that's going to destroy everybody, the way they're playing and the pitching they have and that they got, you know, Darvish, and they just seem to be locked and loaded and, like, they're going to tear through it.
Well, you know, postseason is just a different animal. We'll see. The when you look at the Washington Nationals with Strasburg, Scherzer, you know, Gio Gonzalez, that's tough, particularly with the way Scherzer pitches. I think the whole key is Darvish. If Darvish pitches well, I think they can win it all. If he struggles, you know, they may struggle.
So let's talk about Judge for a second. Today they're writing stories, you probably have seen some of it, that that the baseball has caught up to Aaron Judge, and that bottom line is that this whole, you know, since the All-Star game and everything, his batting average, everything's gone down. But the fact is that people are now starting to write these articles that he's overrated. What do you think?
No, he's certainly not overrated. He had a wonderful first half, but let's be honest. The Yankees were as surprised about his first half as anybody. They never saw it coming either. So I think, you know, he probably was playing over his head. You know, he wasn't going to hit 340 all year. He's a very good player and a lot of potential. But I think people get carried away at the face of baseball and this and that.
Right.
And I think worn out. He's not used to this long season. Hey, pitchers make adjustments to him. He's going to adjust back. And I think it was just natural for him to slow down the second half.
Who do you think's the face of baseball, Bob? Is it Trout or is it Harper? Because I don't think it's Judge.
No, it's certainly not Judge. You know, too young. Yeah, I don't think there is a face yet. I mean, Trout's got the, all the tools in the world and all the talent. You know, MVP race every single year. But he's not a guy that gets out there. You know, he's not a, he stays quiet. He's in Anaheim. During the off season, he's not doing a bunch of stuff. Harper's there, doesn't quite have the talent as a, Trout, but a whole lot of talent. So I think it's kind of a combination, you know, Arenado, Machado, certainly Kershaw. So I don't think there is that one guy yet.
As Bob Nightingale with us, USA Today, as everyone thinks the Yankees, since they got that bullpen strengthened up with their deals and that they got Sonny Gray, that they are on their way, and they're actually going backwards. They're now four games out in the East, and they're, as far as I'm concerned, hanging by a thread for the wild card. Do you think even after all their fancy moves, they could still choke and not even make it?
I've never been a big believer in the Yankees all year. I still think they have enough pitching. And, things have gone right. I still think the Red Sox are the best team in the division. If they get Price, watch out. Price comes back. I think they have a good chance of anybody to win the World Series. But, I like the Rays an awful lot in that division. So we'll see. I'm not sure the Rays aren't a better team.
Do you think, is it surprising to you at all, the Chris Sale's dominance?
No. This guy was a hidden gem with the White Sox. Now he's finally playing for a contender. And I think AL East, as we're seeing, he just thrives on that pressure, on that spotlight. If this guy was pitching in the National League, especially in the NL West, I think he'd put up Koufax numbers. When everybody talks about, Kershaw and Scherzer, people forget how great this guy is. I think he's the most electric guy in the game since Pedro Martinez.
Wow. So let me ask you, Bob Nightingale with us. He's at the Cubs-Giants game tonight at AT&T in the City by the Bay. Good having him back on the bench, as always. So Barry Bonds, speaking of the Giants, he obviously has been talking recently about wishing that he would have kept playing baseball and gone for 800 home runs. My question is, obviously I think he could have done that easily, but my question is, because I've talked about this many times, because I covered his entire career in Pittsburgh and in San Francisco. I was in both. Have you ever remembered anyone that was, I think he's one of the biggest jerks I ever met in my life, but he's like the best baseball player I think I ever watched. Like, he was 40-40 when I watched him as a kid every year when he came out of Arizona State. And then when he went out to the Bay, he blew up like the Michelin man because he was, we all know what he was doing. And, of course, he denies it until the cows come home. But was there anyone that you've been around a lot of guys in baseball, all of them. Was there anyone that was more painful than him?
You mean as a talent?
Just as a person, even as a talent, as a baseball player.
I got along with him because I went to ASU too. But same thing. I knew him from the Pirate days. And I got a kick out of him. He had his moments and stuff like that. But he wasn't two-faced. That's who he was. And I remember when I was coming to Padres, Tony Gwynn was like the nicest guy in the world. And he told Barry Bonds, he says, Barry, just try to be nice to media. Try to be nice to people. It'll pay off. And so Bonds, a couple weeks later, says, you know what, Tony, I tried it. I can't do it. And he started slumping when he's been a nice guy. I got to have that chip and that edge on me. And he's going down as one of the, three, four, five greatest players of all time.
Yeah, I thought he was awesome. I'm not suggesting otherwise. Do you think he'll get into the Hall of Fame?
I do. I think if you put in guys with all the steroid suspicions like Mike Piazza, Jeff Bagwell, Pudge Rodriguez, how in the world can we keep out Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens? I don't think they'll get in next year because the ballots are crowded. I think 2 years from now, 3 years max, I think it's a crime they're not in.
Do you think the Nationals will, because they fixed their bullpen allegedly with Madsen and Doolittle, that they've solved their problems and that they'll finally win in the playoffs or not?
I do. You know, they're going to play the Cubs or whoever, you know, Wednesday in NL Central, first round. I think they will. I just saw them at Wrigley Field. There's a whole different animal now with those three guys, you know, Kinsler, Madsen, Doolittle, like a law firm, you know. back in the bullpen. It's so much easier now for Dusty. I mean, he knows who to go to. At the end of the game, they got so much more confidence. They got a chance to do serious damage in the postseason.
Do you think Cleveland's starting to play good baseball and that they're on their way?
I do. They're kind of reminding you of the Cubs, right? That, you know, you keep waiting for them to take off, and they haven't. Big win tonight coming off, you know, coming back against Greg Holland of Colorado. And, they're not as strong as last year, just like the Cubs. You know, that pitching, you know, doesn't scare you. But yet they know how to win, just like the Cubs know how to win. And the American League is so wide open. You know, I think that's a coin flip as far as who wins the pennant, particularly if David Price is not back.
So what about the wild cards? There's so many teams with a shot, the Royals, Tampa, Seattle, Baltimore, Minnie, and the Angels. Is there a sleeper in that pack that you think has a shot at that one-game wild card?
I'll go with Tampa and the Kansas City Royals. I mean, the Royals, you know, two pins the last 3 years. They know how to win. They kept everybody together now. I like them an awful lot. And Tampa's my sleeper. I don't think people realize how good this team is. Great young pitching staff. You know, got Chris Archer now on top of it. I think they can scare the daylights out of anybody.
So my Pirates have no chance in that. Even though they've won three straight, they have no chance in that Central, you don't think, at four out?
No, yeah, you know, I wish they did more. You know, one of these years they got to do more at the trade deadline. I don't know how you trade, you know, Tony Watson and say, okay, we're still going for this thing, and you make moves like that. I wish that, you know, in 1 year they go all in and try to win this thing. You know, it's almost like they kind of, you know, they're not really in it, they're not really out of it. You know, they'll stay in contention all season, but they've never been that aggressive team at the deadline to push them over the top.
So at the end of the day, was the Darvish deal the best deal at the trade deadline, you think?
Well, I mean, I like the Gray deal. I'll send a Gray deal off for the Yankees just because you have the next, you know, 2 years. I love what the Nationals did. I like the Cubs, and the Cubs got, you know, Quintana for the next 3 years, you know, plus the Justin Wilson and Alex Avila. So I put those over the Dodgers just because, yeah, let's be honest, they could tell Darvish, go to Hawaii for a couple months, take a vacation, just come back with a fresh arm in October. All you need is guys for four or five starts. Now, if they win the World Series, that's the best trade. If they don't, then it's like, okay. But, yeah, but I give them a lot of credit for going for it. I thought it was great that the front office recognized, hey, this team deserves it. Let's go for the gusto here.
What about the last question, the Duda deal? I thought that was good for Tampa. I like his bat.
Yeah, I thought Tampa made nice a lot of sleeper deals. You know, getting Echeverry a couple weeks before that from the Marlins. Yeah, I agree. They made some nice little moves to give that team a chance. You know, they don't have much, you know, money. The team you know, loses money. Nobody shows up for the games. But I like what they've done.
Yeah, hey, Bob, always great having you on. Enjoy the rest of the game. And if you go to that Bumgarner game tomorrow, have a blast. Thanks for coming on the bench. Always love you on the show, man.
All right. Take care, buddy. Thanks, Scott.
All right. Bob Nightingale, my good friend from the USA Today, 855-212-4227. Tell that guy not to give up. I want to hear his Barry Bonds story. We'll get everybody on the bench.
This is Pharrell on the Bench.
All right. So I want to get to the phones. Herman, you're on CBS Sports Radio with the Bonds story.
Yeah. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Cool, man.
Cool. Out of Salisbury, Indiana. Yeah, long ago, it was like in the mid-90s, you know, with the Soul Sun Bonds going on, and we were leaving Murphy's Bar. And, like, my buddy's like, hey, there's the, you know, the bus, visiting bus. Jeff Kent comes out, and then there's Barry Bonds. And a little 9-year-old kid comes up to him and says, hey, Barry, can I have your autograph? And he looked at him and said, man, get away from me, kid, go away. And his dad probably went stir crazy. I was like, how can you be that? You're a little 9-year-old kid, you know, even a Cubs fan. You know, and asked for Barry for an autograph, and he said, Get away from me, kid.
Yeah, I'm not.
I believe it. I have no respect for a guy.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly, I'll be really truthful with you. I've seen that 100 times. These guys, you have to understand, I appreciate where you're coming from, but just know this. They get asked to sign things every single day by hundreds of people. It never ends. It's the most annoying thing in the world to Major League Baseball players and hockey players, NBA, football. I mean, it is all day, every day. Golfers, have you ever seen anything like when these guys walk off the golf course, how many people are begging them to sign something? Tennis players, have you seen at the tennis tournament? The guy loses, and he can't even get off the court because people are throwing those jumbo tennis balls at him to sign with a Sharpie. These guys get asked thousands of times a week for autographs. When they go on the baseball field, they get asked hundreds of, I mean, thousands a week. And when they are on the bus, what happens is they go to the hotel and then people are waiting there for them and they want things. And remember, a lot of them, not a 9-year-old kid, but a lot of them are people that are hawking those autographs and selling them and using them for profit. So, but not a 9-year-old kid. I get it. Now, I've heard this story, and Samsung, back me up or not, a million times I've heard the story of the kid, the little kid that the major leaguer blows off, and the dad that's upset or the caller that's upset, that I've lost all respect for Barry Bonds because
right.
He wouldn't sign the kid's autograph. And at the end of the day, it's a load of BS because I don't blame a baseball player at all anymore for not signing things when they sign 5 million things a year anyway and people drive them nuts.
Yeah, it's one of those things like you always want to do your best to take care of the kids, obviously. But, you know,
whatever.
You have all these adults coming up to you. And you know what? A lot of these autograph hawkers use kids to go up there and
right.
Be like, hey, he'll sign this for you. And then they turn around and sell it anyway.
Right. Now, Mavi, do you feel bad for a 9-year-old that doesn't get an autograph?
I definitely feel bad for any kid. I mean, whether it's an autograph.
Oh, God,
or
here we go. You're so nice, dude. You know what you should do? You should run for man of the year. You're the nicest guy I know. Even tonight, you were so nice to put the key in my kitchen and have my dog go to the bathroom all over the floor.
And your wife got mad. I didn't even know. I didn't even go in.
She blamed you.
Crazy. She did. But, I mean, if it's a kid, it's one thing. I mean, I know, like you said, that these guys use kids all the time, but there's ways around it. You know, like, don't sign anything where you're not writing the name on it, you know, so it's personalized, so it doesn't have that same value to all, you know, these autograph seekers and things like that. There's ways to get around that so that it doesn't, you know, so you can weed out the guys who want and who don't. But, I mean, it's not as bad, of course, as the guy, the grown man who takes a foul ball from the kid in the stands or something like that. But, like you said, you get inundated every now and then. You're playing 162 games. Eventually, you have a bad day. You don't want to deal with it. And, of course, that's going to be the story that everyone shares.
Everyone's mad at the guy because he didn't sign the kid's autograph. And at the end of the day, there's 5 million kids that want autographs from
him. Right. Every kid that's at that stadium wants an autograph.
He can't even, like, get off the bus and go to the hotel room. That's how much they get bombarded. Trust me. That's exactly what happens. It's the weirdest thing. When I used to do the Thrashers play-by-play, I got bombarded because I was doing Battle Dome and MTV and everything else. So I was actually more, if you will, I hate to say it, famous than most of these expansion players. All these expansion NHL players, no one had ever heard of any of them. And literally, when I got off the bus everywhere, they were screaming Pharrell because I was on all these TV shows. So I swear to God, it was the funniest thing, and it really upset Don Waddell. He hated the fact that I was popular. He'll never admit that publicly, but I know it for a fact. He couldn't stand the fact that I was like a sideshow for that team. Like I was, you know, I was on TV for him. I was on radio for him. I was on, and I was on TV nationally when I got hired. I was still doing the Battle Dome show in 300 markets all over North America, Canada, and the U.S. So wherever I went, people were screaming Pharrell at the hotel and everything else. And he hated it. Oh, he hated it. Like no one's business. He thought I was so painful. Every time the guy looked at me, he gave me evil eye. It was never, and I could just tell. He was one of these guys, and I think he's running Carolina now, the Hurricanes. He's one of those guys that just is so serious about his job, which I can respect and appreciate. He runs an NHL team, I get it, but he's too wound up. He's too tight, and he's too serious, and he's too, like, driven and focused on, like, winning, and they're not going to win. They're just not that good, right? They suck. So lighten up, Francis, and have a beer and be nice to people. That was old school Battle Dome footage of Pharrell right there. A lot of people salivating. Mark in Milwaukee.
Scott, how are you?
What's up, buddy?
I've never called a show before. I'm 65 years old. I've been a sports radio devotee for a long, long time.
Sweet.
If I never saw TV again, I could listen to the radio. You are as good as they come.
Oh, you're thanks, right, man.
There's no reason to blow smoke up your butt. You're terrific.
Thank
you. Anybody that plays Ric Flair sound bites like you do, I mean, you get it. That's great.
I love Ric Flair more than my wife.
There you go, man. I just, every night you entertain me, and I just love your show.
Thank you.
I want to talk about Barry Bonds for a minute. I lived in Arizona from the late 90s through the early 2000s.
Right.
And I loved going to spring training games. Some people, Tony Gwynn, as an example, they would leave. You know, games, they play 5-6 games, they leave.
Right.
Tony Gwynn would sign hundreds of autographs for people after he left, in no hurry. So David Eckstein do the same thing. And, you know, what's funny, when Sammy Sosa would arrive in Mesa, you know, they would say, you know, tomorrow's a big day, Sammy's going to be here, and he would arrive in a limo, they'd roll out a red carpet, Sammy's here. But here was the setup every year for Barry Bonds. They would set up a podium in front of Scottsdale Stadium with a press conference with about three people that attended. And he would get up there and he'd say, I hope you people are happy. You ruined my life. You ruined my family's life. Are you happy now? You got what you want? You know, and that's the kind of guy that he was, okay? And he's not the only one. Like, I mean, Randy Johnson was no, you know, really nice individual to deal with either. But I will say this in Bonds' defense. In 2002, I was in Milwaukee for the All-Star game. I'm walking down the streets, and here comes Barry Bonds. And I stopped, and I said, you know, I'm a fan. You know, I'm here for the All-Star game. He was very cordial to me, actually. He didn't blow me off, but one thing, and you probably heard this story before. It comes from Ron Kittle, the ex-Chicago White Sox.
Right,
you remember
Ron
Kittle?
Sure, sure.
Have you heard that? Have you ever heard this story? And again, I'm not there, so I can't substantiate. He claimed that, you know, one year when Bonds was, you know, Wrigley appearing, that he went up to Bonds, approached Bonds to sign some memorabilia for, like, childhood cancer or something to raise for a childhood, you know, fund to help, you know, cancer victims or something. And he claims that Bonds told him, and he's got witnesses, that I don't sign anything for white people, Caucasians. And then he was going to death Bonds right there. And then he was going to death him, except he was afraid he'd get sued by the Giants, so he let him go. I appreciate the time you've given me. I love your show, and if I get a chance, I'd like to call back.
Anytime, Mark. It's great having you on. I'm just glad that he, if it's true, that he hates white people. I think that's just fantastic.
I like white people.
I'm a huge fan of that. Most of the brothers that I play basketball with, you know, they love me, and they still want to punch my face in, but they tell me frequently how much they hate white people. And it's just a fantastic feeling to know that Ron Kittle is exposed to some of that. I love it. I mean, Barry Bonds, I've told you these stories a million times. Then I got Bob Nightingale on here talking about how great of a guy he was. He's like, maybe it's because I went to Arizona State. Like, don't believe Bob, okay? This guy was the biggest P, inject filthy word here, that I've ever met, bar none, in any sport. Absolutely, far and away, the worst human being I've ever met. I don't care what anybody says. But I've said a million times, he's the best baseball player I ever watched on a day-to-day basis. So you can't have it both ways. I think you're the best I ever watched. I loved watching you play baseball. I just hated you as a human being and hoped that you died. So that was just the way it went. Meanwhile, he was on my team, so I rooted for him. I was rooting for a guy I couldn't stand. Bonds and Bonilla and Van Slyke and that team, I loved them. But Barry's not the friendliest guy I ever met. Now, I've said this a million times as well. When you don't matter anymore, you're always nice to people. Everyone's nice when they don't matter. It's when you're the king of the world that you can treat people like crap and get away with it. And then when no one cares about you, you're nice to everybody. Because no one cares about you anymore. So why not be nice? You have nothing else. Don't you remember he started riding a bicycle around, looking like just a complete femme, riding a bike around with a bicycle helmet on? Who does that? No one does that. My friend asked me the other day, hey, you want to pump up the tires and ride the bikes with me? I was like, no, I don't at all. He's like, you care if I smoke a bunch of dope? I go, no, go ahead. Whatever you got to do, but I'm not going on a bike ride. Can you imagine Mafia seeing me ride down the street?
Welcome.
FM to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
All right, sign up to be an O'Rewards member today. Start earning instantly. O'Rewards members earn $5 back for every 150 points you earn. It's fast, easy, and free, and only at O'Reilly Auto Parts. See store for details. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices. Every day, 855-212-4CBS. Go to PharrellOnTheBench.com for winners. Here's baseball for Wednesday. Chicago's at San Fran facing Bumgarner. Miami's at Washington. I'm going to skip all the bad games. L.A.'s at Arizona. Wood and Greinke there. Seattle at Oakland. Seattle's in it. Baltimore and the Angels are both in it, in the wild card at least. They're in Anaheim. Bombers are in Toronto. Tanaka going for the Pinstripers. Boston and Tampa down in Florida. Porcello against Odorizzi. Houston on the south side of Chicago. At Citi Field, Texas is in to see New York. This one's important. Colorado at Cleveland. Pittsburgh at Detroit. Verlander against Nova. Minnesota and Milwaukee are both alive. They're playing in Brewtown and Kansas City against Hot St. Louis in the Arch City. Get every pick for every game at PharrellOnTheBench.com. Daily fantasy rosters that kill it. Our boxing and MMA make people money. The best price, $35, gets you every pick of the month. $35, are you kidding me? It's ridiculous. Pro football this week, Wednesday through Sunday. Every single game is up. Spreads. For those games, I love betting on them. I don't care what you think. College football right around the corner doing push-ups. Sign up today at PharrellOnTheBench.com. We got a lot of callers. By the way, Mafia. Mafia. Hey, Mafia. Mafia with a big game tonight. Ballers.
Mafia.
Mafia. So, Mafia, looks like there's six videos on the Facebook.com/PharrellOnTheBench. Of the Ballers play-by-play of the semis.
Yeah, with only six players tonight, it was either you or I were pretty much out at different parts. Not like usual where we've had seven guys in Umeå sitting for the same amount of time or in for the same amount of time. So it was a lot better for the play-by-play for sure.
So there's six videos up. A lot of people are watching them. They're up on Facebook.com/PharrellOnTheBench if you want to see the Ballers win in the semis. Championship game tomorrow night. Hopefully we can win it for you. We're under a tremendous amount of pressure, though. Mavi, do you think we'll be able to get it done? That's my question for you. A lot of hard work at stake here.
Yes, I do believe we will. I mean, they're a good team. They have a lot of talent, but we've always seemed to have their number from one reason or another.
We need to get it done, Mafia.
When you play against a team that many times, you know them. You know what you got to do against them.
All right. I'll believe you. Go check out the videos. You can see Pharrell jacking threes and hitting lots of them. Robert in Jacksonville, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah, hi, Scotty. This is like my fourth time calling you, and I'm not as nervous now. I feel like I'm getting used to knowing you guys.
My man.
Hey, so listen, I talked to you about a month or so ago, maybe a little longer. You guys got whooped by like 60 points.
Yeah, it was awful.
I called you and I said, look, hey, you know, you're all banged up. Listen, I'm banged up too, so I'll take an extra Tramadol tonight, so hopefully that'll help you.
Okay, that's what I'm talking about.
It's non-narcotic. So anyhow, let me. And it sounds to me like Mafia. You sound like a pretty tough physical player.
He is. He's a big 6'5", 240. The guy bangs. He swats shots, gets rebounds.
Yeah, I didn't have to say that about you because I know about your 3-point shooting. But I just wanted to throw that in about Mafia. I have a couple things I want to make. I know that
no one supports Mafia more than me in his basketball game.
I'd love for you guys, of course, to win first of all, but. Whether you win or lose, man, you should. I'd love to see a team photo of you guys on your website.
I mean, there is a team photo of us on there at some point or another. Where is it, Mafia? Like, it's on the league website, right?
Yeah, it is.
Okay, so
we could try to put it up on our Facebook.
We could put it up on our Facebook. Mafia, get that picture and put it up on our Facebook.
My main question was, America, we want to know how you're feeling for your championship game,
right?
And we hope you're doing. We hope you do okay. Now, I want to tell you about the bicycle riding. I'm 52. I just turned 52 right. In June 6th.
Right.
I know you just had a birthday. Is it too late to say happy
birthday? No, it's fine. And don't get me wrong. I was making fun of bike riding. But I ride the bike. I spin, and I go on the bike a lot. I ride a lot of miles every week at the gym. But I'm not really the guy that does the whole get on the bike with the family and ride around the neighborhood
I know.
That's not me.
I'm just saying. I live in like the Amelia Island and A1A through Yulee and through St. all the way to St. Augustine.
Right.
And I do 100-mile bike rides on a day, and I'm 52. I have a recumbent bike. It's where you sit on it, and it's really comfortable.
Right. Oh, well, that's awesome. I hate those spin bike seats. They hurt my butt.
And that's why at 5'10", at 52 years old, I can still grab a rim. I can't thunk like I used to when I was younger.
Well, that's great because you got powerful legs from riding a bike.
Yeah. Now, listen, I've been a huge, huge Pirates fan since we were family. Willie Stargell.
Right.
Kent Tekulve, you know, I can go. I met Chuck Tanner. But I got to tell you, we really, really got screwed, I thought, when we played 91 or 92, was it, against the Braves?
Right.
I went to all those games at Three Rivers.
It was awful.
And then Sid Bream beat us.
You had to bring that up.
That sickens me still today.
Thanks for bringing it up.
I'm a huge Steelers fan. I'm so happy for you with the Penguins. I think hockey's exciting, but I haven't really caught
I think it's the greatest thing ever. I love it. Robert, you're the best. It's always good hearing from you. I love you. We've gone through a litany of sports with Robert. We have covered everything from several decades there. And I think we've hit most of it on a high note. We'll leave it there at a high note. We'll leave it on a positive note tonight. I'm trying to be as nice as possible. As far as the Ballers are concerned, how do we feel? I feel fine, Mafia. I'll be honest with you. I feel fine. I'm going to go. What I'm going to do now is at the top of the hour, I'm going to go fill up my ice bag. And I'm going to take my shoes off. And I'm going to put my feet on ice for an hour. And I'm going to do that because I like the pain, actually, of having my feet frozen after a game because my feet hurt always. They don't really hurt tonight at all. The more threes I hit, the better my feet feel. If I would have missed five threes or six threes, I would have very sore feet tonight. But the fact that my J was falling again, the stroke was going down, World B freestyle, I feel pretty good overall. Mafia, do you feel good for tomorrow? No problem?
Yeah, I feel good, no problem. I feel like I got a little bit of a banged up left calf. I think I took a knee some point, but
you deserve.
Usually my left foot is banged up, but today I ripped out the guts of the shoe and put in those special insoles to make sure that it was better today.
See? I mean, I told you.
Usually I threw those on top, but this time I just ripped them straight out.
You got to have those inserts in. That's all there is to it. I'm lucky. We've been playing back-to-back every week, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then I've been playing Saturday, Sunday, too. So I've been playing nonstop. I think that has paid off, though, the amount of shooting I've done. I don't know if you knew this, but Monday and Tuesday, both, I went in there and shot like 100 threes.
Oh, it's definitely helped.
I went in and shot all morning again today. I'm going to probably go tomorrow morning, too, and shoot another 100. I'm all about draining. I don't care if they're threes or twos. I hit some twos tonight. I can always go to the hole. I'm all for it. Mary Ellen in D.C., get her a Guinness.
My napkin. Can I get a shot of Jack, too?
Can we get her a whiskey? There you go.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It was rough tonight. You're talking about signing autographs for athletes.
Right.
I was there when Dan Snyder of the Redskins was doing his asinine signing of all great names.
Right.
Or that, you know, were retreads.
Right.
And I worked with Skins for a summer in security.
Mm-hmm.
Just as fun. And they had Bruce Smith and Deion Sanders at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And talk about a jerk. Which one of the two do you think was a jerk of those two?
Of Dan Snyder and who?
No, Dan Snyder was a jerk, but of Bruce Smith and Deion Sanders.
I would say Deion Sanders.
No.
Well, there you go. Then I got it wrong. True false, Mafia. How many of those do I get wrong? 50% of them?
75.
How many trivia games do I like playing on the air?
Zero.
Thank you. Marcus in Chicago, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, what's going on, Scott? I love the show. I don't care how these athletes treat fans or all this other extra stuff, as long as they perform on the field.
Right.
But quick thing, Barry Bonds, man, in the early 90s, that dude was a monster. I seen Bartolo Colon strike him out three times in the game when Bartolo was pitching for the White Sox.
Right.
In the upper 90s. Anyway, ninth inning, Bonds comes up. I look at my brother. I said, dude, they got to get Bartolo out of there, man. Bonds is going to crack one. Next thing you know, like a 90-something, upper 90s fastball, Bonds cracks it, ties the game up. That dude was a beast. I don't know how, if he doesn't get in the Hall of Fame, there shouldn't be a Hall of Fame. That's all I got to say. Because
yeah.
Guys like Piazza, all the rest of them bums in there, and this guy just put on a show. for almost two decades, dude, and just killed it, ripped it up. Favorite baseball player ever. And I'm a White Sox fan, but I love great baseball, and Bonds is elite. Doesn't get no better.
Yeah, listen, I agree with you. I've said it before. I'll say it again a million times. Hated his guts, but as a player, he was awesome to watch. I loved him. I thought he was incredible. I couldn't get enough of watching him and his at-bats and his home runs and everything about him was badass. I mean, the guy, he did it, and I couldn't agree with you more. I think he should be in. I really don't care what anybody thinks of him, his personality or otherwise. I really, you know, he's got to be in. You can't have those kind of numbers and not be in. Everybody else that has them is in. And I agree with Bob Nightingale. A bunch of those guys that are in now have been accused of you know, doping as well, right? A bunch of guys are in now from that steroid era and asterisk era, that whatever you want to call it. So if you're going to let them in, and Pudges of this world, and they all lie and say they never did it, you got to let him in and everybody else too.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.